Well, recently, my wife and I had the owner of a local floor covering business in our home so he could give us an estimate for replacing some carpet in our family room. And he was a friendly, knowledgeable man, seemed to know what he was doing, gave us some good ideas. But when he was at the door, ready to leave in our house at about 5 o'clock, one of us came up with something, so the discussion led to the deterioration of our society. And so we just agreed with him that God was being removed. Well, that pushed a button in him because he started to preach to us there, even though he was ready to go home, I think. And he said, "I had a feeling you people were Christians," he said. "Sometimes you can just sense it." And he started to tell us what was going to happen in this world to those who were saved, and then also those who would not accept the Lord. What's going to happen? He started telling us that those who are saved, of course, they're going to immediately go up to heaven, and the others will go down to hell immediately. So I figured after this, I'd better interrupt him just to let him know that we're not, we don't agree with everything that he said. So I interrupted him. I told him that, we also study the Bible, but we have a little bit of a different understanding of it. That we feel that when a person dies, his consciousness dies with him. And he goes into the grave and doesn't feel anything. There's no pain. He's basically asleep, awaiting the resurrection. There was a slight pause, and he said, well, it's the same thing. We just have a little different look about things. And he went on preaching. So I thought this is kind of interesting, but we weren't going to continue because he had to get going. But if we had had the time and he had the interest in scriptures, we could have read to him Jesus' word from John 3:13. In John 3:13, no one has ascended to heaven but he that came down from heaven, meaning Jesus himself. Now, who would know better than Jesus? So that, to us, that's a good one. Also, we could have read Acts 2:29. Acts 2:29. Where Peter proclaimed in his famous sermon, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." Also, we could have read in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, where they talk about a number of God's faithful saints. It says in verse 32, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise." In other words, they were named, and some of them were identified, but there are a lot of saints who are still awaiting the resurrection of the dead and also the glorification in God's kingdom. Well, our experience with this man who wanted to talk about God reminded me that we must be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And there was a chance we could have, if we were just in this home where we're talking, we could have discussed it even more. So I thought about 1 Peter 3:15, where that is, that scripture. And if he continued to talk to us, which he will when he comes back to put the carpet in, that he might ask next different things. And he'll learn that we keep the seventh-day Sabbath instead of Sunday, which I'm sure he keeps because he told us what his church was, and that his brother was a preacher. And he had a lot of access to theological people through his brother. That's why he was so studious. So because of this experience, I thought it would be a good idea today for us just to review what I might tell him about the Sabbath. So how we keep the Sabbath. So the sermon title is, "Why and How Do We Keep the Sabbath?" Why and how do we keep the Sabbath? Well, many people think that the Sabbath is only a Jewish day. Well, why would I want to keep that Jewish day? When they read the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, they think that the fourth commandment was given for those people way back in the days of Moses, and it's not for us today. So let's take a look at that fourth commandment, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now people think that the Sabbath started at the same time that God brought this commandment, fourth commandment, Ten Commandments, to the new ancient Israel. But they have it wrong. By giving them the Ten Commandments, he actually told this new ancient Israel, remember something. He said, in beginning with this, remember something. And we just read the words. He commanded them to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. He was leading them back to creation. He had just finished the first 6 days of creation, when we can read in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. It just said that, so the evening of the morning was the sixth day. Now, on the seventh day, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So that was right after creating mankind, right there at the beginning of creation is when this started. A lot of people then still think that it came later. So the beginning of creation of man was created holy time. Not for any specific group, but it was created for man in general. God wasn't weary or tired when he stopped and rested. He doesn't get weary. But he had stopped his creative work to rest, to sanctify, set apart, this holy time, the seventh day, totally different from the other 6 days. It was a day of rest and a day that you do not go to work. Now, there are some people who try to dispute this interpretation, saying that it was not the origin of the commandment, of the actual Sabbath day rest, because the word Sabbath is not mentioned in this scripture. But the Hebrew word translated rested is Shabbat. And that's the root word for Sabbath. Sabbath means to cease or to rest. And it is from this Sabbath that we get the meaning of the day of rest. So that argument doesn't really take you anywhere either. The Sabbath is made for humankind. Believe it or not, some will still urge that this doesn't prove that the Sabbath came the time we say it did at the beginning. And it wasn't instituted until Moses got it at the Mount Sinai. That's when it came along. And then only for a limited time, because later on it changed to the first day of the week. But Jesus himself, of course, dispelled this notion. You can read it in Mark 2, 27. In Mark 2, verse 27, he said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." And he was explaining to some listeners who misunderstood the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't for the nation of Israel only. He said it was made for man, for all of humanity. So the Sabbath commandment is an important and has an important purpose. It pointed God's people to God as their creator. It reminds us that there is a higher power, an authority at work in our lives as we grow up, and the lives of all humanity. God intended that the Sabbath be a reminder of this. It set apart time for rest and spiritual rejuvenation, as we've learned. But when is the Sabbath kept? Man decided at some point to start counting time at midnight. And now, how are you going to determine the Sabbath if you have to set an alarm at midnight? Anyway, God, who created the heavenly bodies and put them in place, he had a different way of counting time. He counted it from evening to evening. From Sabbath begins Friday evening and it ends on Saturday evening. That's a 24-hour period of holy time called the Sabbath. God the Creator determines that it begins when it begins and ends, from sunset to sunset. Now this may seem simple enough for us, but why is this fourth commandment so frequently ignored and attacked and explained away? Well, could it be that Satan, the god of this evil world, has a hand in this situation here? Could it be that he influences people? He wants us to keep a different day. He wants us to change that day and go man's way because he wants to confuse the meaning. And he hates God's law. That's a good reason why people insist on keeping the wrong day. Satan stays busy as the real god of this age. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He has deceived most of mankind. We can read that in Revelation 12, verse 9. Revelation 12, 9. He wants to keep people from having a loving, personal relationship with their Creator, which is the purpose of the fourth commandment. He wants us to prevent us from keeping our incredible hope and future about being part of God's family. Was the Sabbath changed to Sunday in the New Testament? That would be maybe the next question this man would think about that we had in our house. There was eventually a change to Sunday by man in most churches, but not by God, not in the New Testament. It was never changed by Jesus or any of his apostles. Most don't realize that the wholesale rejection of the Sabbath as a Christian day of worship did not start until almost 300 years after Christ's ministry and his resurrection. To explain how this change took place, I'm going to read to you a couple of paragraphs from our church booklet, The Ten Commandments. Quote, "The official substitution of Sunday for the Sabbath was orchestrated by the Roman Emperor Constantine, who made Christianity the official state religion to secure political advantage over a defeated contender for the office of emperor. His rivals supported a policy of persecuting and killing Christians. Constantine was quick to grasp the political advantage of accepting and supporting Christians. But that came with a price, state control over religious matters. Nowhere in the Bible does either the Father or Jesus Christ ever grant permission to change the time of the Sabbath from the seventh to Sunday, the first day of the week. No human being, institution, or state has ever had the right to tamper with what God has made sacred." End quote. So once the change to Sunday worship was officially made by the Roman Church, it was there to stay because it was accepted even by the Protestants and other churches that came out of this Roman Church. And even with the Protestant Reformation and all the changes that Martin Luther made that resulted in his excommunication by the Pope, the Sunday day of worship was left alone by him. He didn't say anything about that. Of course, Martin Luther, it's documented that he expressed strong antagonistic and anti-Semitic things about the Jews. And so he probably didn't want to go back to them, the time that they kept. He wanted to keep it Sunday. Regardless of the Sunday worship observance of the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches, though, it's interesting what the leaders and their experts and authoritarians say about the Sabbath day and the Sunday day. They admit that Sunday is the biblical day and that there is no biblical basis for Sunday observance in the Scriptures. Here are some quotes for these admissions. First, the Roman Catholic admission, James Cardinal Gibbons, you've heard about him before, from the Faith of Our Fathers, 88th edition, page 89. That was back in the 1800s. Quote, "But you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day we never sanctify." He admitted that by the church. Also, the Catholic Mirror publication, official publication of James Cardinal Gibbons. This was September 23rd in 1893. Quote, "The Catholic Church, by virtue of her divine mission, changed the day from Saturday to Sunday." So that's what they did. And they're honest. They say they did that, and they did it. They don't try to say it. Somebody else changed it later on, and it's in the Bible. Now, for a Protestant admission of the same thing, this is a Methodist person, Harris Frank Rall, R-A-L-L, in the Christian Advocate in 1942. It was an Episcopalian and Methodist little journal that people received. Quote, "Take the matter of Sunday. There are indications in the New Testament as to how the church came to keep the first day of the week as its day of worship, but there is no passage telling Christians to keep that day or to transfer the Jewish Sabbath to that day." There again, they say, no, it's not in the Bible. We did it, and we're sticking to it. Now, we've heard many times about three scriptures that some people have tried to use to show that Sunday was actually the day of rest and worship in the New Testament. But if you go through these three scriptures, it doesn't hold up because they've misinterpreted or they've tried to tell you that that's what it meant, but you can read it. They have it wrong. We don't have time to go through these today. Just keep in mind that the more than 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, the New Testament was written during all that period. So there's plenty of time to correct it if they actually kept it and switched to Sunday. Nowhere does it show that there's a day of rest in the New Testament on Sunday. So we've seen that the leaders and authorities of the Sunday-keeping churches admit that God's word has never changed from Saturday to Sunday. We've seen that some have tried to use these three scriptures in the New Testament to show that they did, but that doesn't hold up. Maybe they did that to justify their actions because they felt maybe they couldn't find it and they were wrong. After coming into God's church and understanding his Sabbath, I learned that there are some Sunday-keeping churches that actually deny the seventh-day Sabbath that God created, as if it didn't exist. It's almost like there are only nine of these commandments. One major church almost says that there are nine commandments instead of ten. I'll read you a few words from its introductory booklet for new members that want to know what they believe. Chapter 7, entitled "The Church's Moral Law," a book I was given many years ago that happened to be in my bookshelf for some reason when I came into the church, and I said, I wonder what they say about this, as I was studying Sabbath. Quote, "It has often been taught that the Ten Commandments are the rules of Christian conduct. As a matter of fact, they are even below the level of the best Jewish moral teaching, for they represent the Jewish ethical standards of about the 7th century B.C. A person who breaks any of the commandments except the fourth," that's written in there that way, "except the fourth, is certainly sinning grievously. But one could keep all of them and yet be very far from being a Christian. They are not Christianly invalid, but Christianly insufficient." That's how they explain that away. Later in the chapter, after they actually quote the fourth commandment very accurately, it says, quote, "This commandment refers to Saturday and has nothing to do with the Christian Sunday or the first day of the week," end quote. They're honest there. It's true. It has nothing to do with Sunday or the first day of the week, keeping that. So I believe we've shown by now that Jesus and his apostles kept the seventh-day Sabbath, and it was never changed to Sunday. What does Christ's personal example teach us about the Sabbath? So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Luke 4:16. So Christ used the Sabbath for its intended purpose, to help people develop a personal relationship with their Creator. Now in the second part of the sermon, let's review how we keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a godly relationship. The Sabbath is vital to our relationship with God because it shapes the way we perceive and worship Him. We love God, desire a close relationship with Him. We need to spend more time honoring Him and drawing close to Him and observing the Sabbath. First, we must understand that God loves us and He created the Sabbath for human beings, for our benefit, so He could establish a close relationship with God. Clearly, God intended the Sabbath to be a blessing for us, for those who would use it the way He intended it. We don't just go to church for a couple of hours and then run back home, change clothes, and go back to our normal routine, as a lot of people do. That wouldn't work. God has provided us this 24-hour period to get the message. Now, here are four basic parts of the Sabbath. Number one, we don't go to work. We take the day off. Number two, we rest. We don't sleep all day, but we stop, come out of this world, and enjoy the day. Number three, we assemble with others for Sabbath worship. We interface with people of like minds. God calls this a convocation. In Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3, Leviticus 23:3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So it's a very special time. The holy convocation can be thought of as an official summons for worship. God is like telling us, you be there and take it seriously. Number four, we fellowship. Number four, we fellowship. We interact and get involved with other brethren. It's part of true Christianity. We should be concerned about others and encourage others and pray for them, or be thankful if they encourage and pray for us if we've had a bad week. And we serve. We get there early and see if we can serve and help other people. Now let's discuss each of these four parts in a little more detail. Part one, we can work for 6 days, but the seventh day we don't work. Let's put the job and our problems out of our minds for 24 hours and turn to God for spiritual matters. Part two, we are told to rest. The seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest. We come out of the stressful work mode and we ease into the peaceful Sabbath mode. It takes some while to get to know that. If you're worried about, oh, what I have to do and I have to take, come, the Sabbath just split right in the middle. After you do it a while, things change. It's a special time and you put those things out of your mind. God created us and He knows us better than we know ourselves, doesn't He? Here's the question. Would you be taking time off on your own for 24 hours if God didn't make it a commandment? If it was an optional thing, you think you'd do that? I don't think so. It brings me into mind this girl that worked at Georgia Tech when I was there in my early days. She was a very intelligent little gal. She was putting her husband through Georgia Tech, and she was meant to work and work hard. She started off by handing out files from the file room, which was too simple of a job for her, and soon they made her a full secretary, and she outdid the other secretaries because she wanted to work and work hard and get to know what her boss was doing. So even if she had to answer the phone, she wouldn't just say, he's not here. She would say, well, what is it you want to know? And then she would try, if she knew, she'd answer, which was a good attitude. I was afraid she'd take my job over, but she was really something. But she's one of those persons I know you've experienced the same thing, who doesn't remember things you tell them about. Like if you say, we don't eat pork, because they ask you, the next time they try to serve you pork, you say, no, I don't eat. Oh, that's right. A week later, they'll say, oh, that's right, you don't eat pork. Things like that. Well, soon after she heard that we don't eat pork, someone was going to go out there and buy four pizzas and bring them back to the group. We were celebrating something or other. And so she said, oh, when you do that, don't get all salami, because Bill, he can't eat pork. And so she remembered, and she told them that, you know, to get a veggie for him. So they did, and that was fine, except the second time they tried that with the first time it didn't happen, but the second time they tried that with the veggies, I was on an important call I had to finish at that time. By the time I got out there, my veggie was half eaten. And people were saying, oh, who bought this? This was excellent. I really like this one. And so there's my veggie pizza. I had about one or two slices left. So she also did another thing that was interesting. She remembered about the Sabbath when I mentioned it. Because she said, well, what do you do on the Sabbath? I said, well, I look forward to Friday because I'm just going to go home. My wife makes a nice meal. We have the best china, and it's a very special occasion that day. That evening, we just eat this fine meal and enjoy ourselves, relax. The next day, we go to church and relax again, and we don't do any work in the yard. And she said, well, that's really something. Well, a few weeks later, she had a bad Friday. She just was busy, and other things were wrong happening to her, and she was tired. And so she came to me when I was smiling, ready for the Sabbath, about 4 o'clock, and she said, you're lucky. She says, you get to go home to a nice meal with your wife on the Sabbath. She says, I got to go shopping tonight. We always shop on Friday nights, and I hate it. So she learned a lesson, but she still did the shopping. After a while, as I say, we learn to really enjoy and ease into the Sabbath. It's a very special time, peaceful family day. And this gives us time to focus on other things, the more important things, such as worshiping God, praying to God, we speak to Him. Studying His Word, that's when He answers and speaks to us. Fellowshipping with God's people, appreciating God's creation. Spending time building our family relationships. It's a very special time, as we know. We should focus now on the spiritual assets of the day, aspects of this day, thinking about God, getting closer to God, and learning His ways. Now, preparation for the Sabbath. We should always keep the Sabbath in mind during the week. If we're thinking about the Sabbath, we can make preparations rather than waiting till the last day as the sun sets coming and you're all flustered because you forgot something. So you plan ahead. Things such as cleaning up the car, filling the gas tank, preparing the clothes, shining your shoes, preparing foods and schedule what you're going to eat. Thinking about the children and how you can make the Sabbath better for them. When we first came into the church in Southern California, we had a pastor who talked about the enjoyment he and his wife had on Friday nights and Saturday nights with their children. They had 5 children that sit in the front row from right down in the row to the pastor. The wife would often make a special surprise meal or dessert that was a favorite of one of the children. This was so the children, too, can look forward to the Sabbath and enjoy themselves and be part of something instead of just being on their own. Part 3, the Sabbath service, or assembling with others for worship. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 that we just read a few minutes ago, I'll just read it again. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In Exodus 31, verse 13, I'll read from the New International Version, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. So we're told by God. It's a very important day. We need to do this. Now, we may not meet in formal church-like settings in this church every week, but God is here in spirit. And wherever we meet, we're coming before God. It's his sanctuary at that time, and so we should reference his sanctuary. This includes respect in the way we act, the way we talk, what we talk about, the way we dress, and the way we get to church on time. We need to be in our seats and ready to be part of the song service, the sermonette, and the sermon. We can read about this in Isaiah chapter 58, 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, 13, 14. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Beginning in verse 13, keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests or pleasures on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with a delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. So I wouldn't say that the Sabbath is just another day off for watching movies or television all day long or trying to figure out what you might want to do. It's not easy to watch our conversations either. I know I have to be careful that I don't get in long conversations that has nothing to do with any spiritual matter or God or the Sabbath. The scripture we just read contrasts our ways with God's ways, because he said it is his day, it is his Sabbath day, and we're looking toward him. So the Sabbath should be a pleasurable and an enjoyable day, because it's God's day. Should be a day of happiness and cheerfulness. Look to the spiritual aspects of the day and look for the hope we have for the future with his plan for us. One church article said of this scripture that we just read, quote, here we see God's true intent for the Sabbath. It is part of a proper loving relationship with him. It is a matter of honoring God. It is a matter of surrendering one of our most precious possessions, our time, to build a right relationship with our Creator. That's what it is. So besides attending Sabbath services and having pleasant get-togethers at home, we have plenty of time for Bible study and prayer. And there are other ideas I'm going to give you that can make the Sabbath a delight. It's possibly a chance to visit the sick or some widows. You can establish better relationships with them. You can use some of the time to write a letter or a card to somebody and encourage or uplift that person. Today, a written letter is so rare that they love it. People call my wife when she handwrites a card because she doesn't use the computer and say, this is unusual. This is actually, I got mail from you. Study the Word of God and review God's plan. Study the Word, review God's plan. Talk about how God has worked in your life. It can be an encouraging, positive thing. But if you look back at how God, we were on the way to service, we were just thinking about how we were blessed at various times, not realizing it at the time, and afterwards we said, well, that worked out just fine. And God stepped into the matter. Take a walk, go outside, go to a park, enjoy God's creation. And my wife loves gardening, and so we have bird feeders and bird baths, and a lot of beautiful birds out in the back, and trees, flowers, and we walk out there and listen to the birds or watch them. We go up and look down into that flower, and beautiful designs. Flowers are in the veins of certain plants. It's just such a variety. And so I always think that if there was evolution, he sure had an artistic person working with him to have all that beauty. Have family discussions about news items, current events, and prophecy. Talk about the problems of this world and how God will solve them, because we certainly can't solve them on our own. So how we keep the Sabbath says something about us to God. God wants to learn something about our character and what we're going to do with the Sabbath. We must continue to grow in understanding of the Sabbath by the letter of the law as well as the spirit. In this sermon, we've reviewed why and how we keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a continuing creation. The Sabbath is not simply a reminder of the past creation, because God did the physical creation in only 3 days. But the spiritual part is going on today, a different way. It's still underway. The Sabbath is the primary day on which spiritual creation happens. Creation of a new person in Christ, a transformation in our lives. In this world today, we desperately need to draw closer to God each day, to our Creator. And He tells us how much special time we need to do this, and He tells us when. Then He leaves it up to us. Now we have to decide if we believe in His judgment, if we are going to obey Him on the Sabbath command.